Refining your hypnotic performance. No matter how one looks at it, the application of hypnotic principles in real life really results in a special performance. I'm not saying that you will become a stage hypnotist or street hypnotist, although I am not discouraging you from trying those avenues if you feel the urge to do so. No, what I'm pointing out is whenever you apply hypnotic techniques, you need to bring the whole package to the social engagement in order to become truly effective. You will bring with you not only your knowledge of the hypnotic trance, but also your linguistic toolset, and of course, your knowledge of how to speak hypnotically. Forget about the crazy movies that you've seen where hypnotists are carrying around swirling pendulums. That is just pure fiction. Trust me, the people who wrote for those movies probably have never met a genuine hypnotist in their lifetime. Now, what would you need to become a masterful hypnotist? You need to have the whole package. And the only way you can have the whole package is if you master all three channels of communication: verbal, nonverbal, and vocal. So far, we have been discussing the verbal and nonverbal channels extensively. We've already explored subconscious signals, signal detection, linguistic patterns, and a couple of other techniques that help build the hypnotic theme in a conversation. We have also discussed how you can easily establish deep, wide rapport with someone to ensure that you will be in the best position to gain compliance from your subject. But what about the third communication channel, the vocal channel? Is the vocal channel as important as the nonverbal and verbal channels? Should you exert effort to ensure that your vocal channel is also working hard to hypnotize your subject? The answer, quite simply, is yes. According to one well-known study, the bird whistle study to be exact, the vocal channel is actually responsible for conveying 38% of the entire message. So when you are talking to your subject, more than half of what you are saying is being transmitted through the nonverbal channel, and almost 40% of your message is carried by your vocal channel. What's the vocal channel all about? Well, we have verbal language, such as words, phrases, sentences, and then we also have vocal language. Vocal language is older than verbal language. We learn how to vocalize our needs and desires before we learn how to speak a common language. Vocal language is universal. Verbal language isn't. If you are an American and you speak with someone from the Middle East, you might not be able to understand the subject's native language, but you will be able to understand the tonality of his words and his nonverbal expressions, his body language. Vocal language, to a certain extent, can bridge cultural differences. But then again, it does have its limitations. For one, it would be very difficult to convey complex ideas through vocalizations alone. So you really need all three channels in order to become an effective communicator and hypnotist. Let us talk about tonality, because this is really the core of the performance component of hypnosis. Tonality is defined as the organization of all the tones and harmonies of sound. You see, whenever you talk, your speech has certain qualities that make it effective or ineffective in conveying ideas and emotions. The tonality of your voice is also responsible for modifying the implied meaning of your words. To illustrate this, let us explore the phrase, "I hate you." These three words can be used to convey a literal meaning, as in, "I hate you." Or the same words can be used to express something else. The implied meaning of words is changed whenever a person modifies his vocal channel. For example, two friends can routinely say, "I hate you," in a playful manner. They are using fairly straightforward words, but at the same time, they do not really hate each other. When best friends say, "I hate you," what they usually mean is, "I don't like what you did, but it's really all right. I don't really hate you." Now that you have a better understanding of how the implied meaning of a message can be changed by modifying the tonality of one's speech, let us move on to the essential principles of hypnotic performance. Principle number one. The first performance principle is to experience what you want to express to your subject. The body and mind connection is so strong that whatever the mind conceives, the body can easily express through nonverbal signals. But in order for the body to be accurate in its expression of what you want to say, you have to refocus your mental energies so that you will be able to perform what you are thinking. Here's an example. Let's say you have a friend that is very stressed from work and also has some anger management issues. You want this person to unlearn his bad habits related to his management of stress and other negativities in his life. And the first thing that you want to happen is to be able to get this person to truly relax. To a person who doesn't know how to relax, it's not enough for you to say, "You feel relaxed." You have to project relaxation to your subject. But in order to do that, you have to retrieve your own experiences in relaxation. As you retrieve these past experiences related to relaxation, you are going to allow those memories to dominate your mind. Your state of mind should match the kind of experience that you want to project. So if the theme of your dialogue is relaxation, you have to feel relaxed yourself. In addition to changing your mindset so that it begins to transmit relaxation, you must also stop yourself from thinking about what doesn't cause relaxation, mainly negative emotions, stress, work problems, family problems, etc. Be the experience that you want to convey. Visualize yourself as a powerful being of limitless energy, and you have the ability to transmit images and experiences directly to your subject. Principle number 2. The second performance principle is to vocally emphasize the meaning of your words. You can vocally emphasize the meaning of your words by expressing emotions and experiences through different tones of voice. As we have explored in a previous section, the entirety of a person's message is 38% dependent on the vocal channel. So that leaves a very small percentage for the verbal channel or the actual words used. Believe it or not, the tone of voice is more important when you are trying to be really clear and precise when communicating with your subject. To show you just how important tonality is when you are trying to hypnotize someone, consider the following hypnotic script. "I want you to relax right now. Not like that. You are way too stressed. Relax. Feel the relaxation flow through you. Let the stress leave you. Relax. Be comfortable now. Go deeply into the trance. Deep, I say. Go deeply into the trance." This hypnotic script was actually used by another practitioner on a client. Now, I'm not here to pass any value judgments on the hypnotist himself. But what we can do is examine how he tried to convey the idea of relaxation to his subject. As you can plainly hear from the exclamation points and how the phrases had been structured, the hypnotist was clearly using the wrong tonality during the hypnosis session. It is one thing to repeat the hypnotic suggestions and prime the subject to give you a good response. But it is a completely different thing when you say it like you are a drill sergeant. There is a big difference also between being authoritative and being downright bossy during a hypnosis session. Some books on hypnosis promote instant induction techniques where the hypnotist shocks the subject into a hypnotic trance. While these techniques are valid, I have to remind everyone that these techniques are often taught in the context of stage hypnosis or street hypnosis. In short, they are used for their entertainment value because it is entertaining to see someone go under so quickly. But if you want to induce a deep hypnotic trance to gain something important, I suggest that you steer clear from such techniques for now. You can start using them when you already have a more solid foundation of hypnosis. Until then, stick to our time-tested methods. Now, how can we improve the script that I have just shared with you? Is there a way to improve how it is conveyed to a hypnotic subject? Of course. Listen to the example again, but this time with a couple of changes. "I want you to relax right now. You are feeling more and more relaxed. Feel the relaxation flow through you. Let the stress leave you. You are becoming more and more comfortable. Go deeply into the trance, deeper and deeper into the trance." Notice that I have altered several words and phrases in the original script to modify the problematic areas. You really don't have to be an expert hypnotist in order to produce expert results. Read the example aloud in a deep tone of voice and focus on the idea of sending someone into a deep trance state. Compare this example with the first example. Which example do you think will work the best? Tonality exercise number one. Now that you are more aware of how tonality affects the quality and meaning of your message, it is time once again to practice what we have learned. This tonality exercise is very easy, and all you will need is a dictionary, printed or otherwise. Here's what I want you to do. Open the dictionary and find words like happy and excited. Focus on descriptive words. Just explore the dictionary and find words that you think would sound great in a hypnotic conversation. Write down the words on your journal or notebook. If you don't have one yet, now would be a good time to invest in a small notebook that you can use to take down notes. When you have completed a list of 10 to 20 different words, close the dictionary and focus on the list of words that you have. Read each word in your list aloud, but I want you to really emphasize the meaning or experience that each word represents by changing the tonality of your voice. For example, if your word is anger, it would sound something like anger, with emphasis on the rolling sound at the end of the word. Do not be afraid to experiment with ways of expressing a single word. Repeat each word until you find the perfect tonality for that word, and then move on to the next word. Tonality exercise number two. Now that you have a list of different words and you've been able to practice expressing them with different tonalities, it's time to expand your skill set a bit. Get your list of words once again. Practice the words if you wish. If not, move on to step two. Create a story or script where all of the words in your list will be used. Write down the story, and when it's done, read it out loud. Be sure to emphasize the meaning or experience of the key words that you have added. Principle number three. The third performance principle centers on the importance of strategic emphasis of words. Some of you might be asking, we've read so much about tonality, linguistic bonds, and the like. Aren't those things forms of emphasis? Well, they are. The thing about hypnosis is at any one time, you could be emphasizing several linguistic elements in different ways. So do not be surprised if there are several levels of emphasis possible when you want to say something. I want you to have the best possible experience when hypnotizing your subjects, so I'm holding nothing back with these techniques. You should not feel overwhelmed or afraid of these techniques, because the purpose of these extensive discussions is to open your mind to the possibilities of human communication. You should be aware of all of these principles, but it would be impossible to employ each and every one of them in a single conversation. That's like using your whole toolbox to change a tire. It just doesn't happen in real life. What you must do, however, is to have the right tools so you can pick them up when you need them. Now, let's talk about emphasis and how it affects the meaning of your statements. Consider the sentence, "Why did you give me flowers?" If you read it off of a page, it looks like any other question. But what if we change the emphasis of the statement? Listen to the following list. Why did you give me flowers? 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 What I just shared are different versions of the same sentence. I merely emphasized a different word whenever I repeated the sentence. Try reading the sentences yourself and see how the implied meanings of the sentences change whenever the emphasis changes. By changing the tonality of different words in the sentence, we are able to access multiple levels of meaning, and this will give you an edge when you are trying to nudge a person to the right direction during a conversation. Many people are not aware of the implications of emphasis whenever they speak. A lot of people believe that words are words, and they mean the same thing, whatever the tonality. We know now that this is not true, and if you ignore the essential qualities of your speech, you are going to miss out on a lot of opportunities to influence other people. Now that you are more aware of the power of emphasis, I want you to try different forms of emphasis when talking to people. Experiment with this concept and see how people react to how you talk to them. Principle number four. The fourth performance principle is the proper use of rhythm and tone during a conversation. The best guide that you could possibly have for rhythm and tone is your favorite singer or band. So I want you to get your cell phone or portable music player and just listen to your favorite song. Enjoy the music, but also focus on how the singer belts out those lyrics. It might be a little difficult to discern the rhythm of the words, but just keep listening until you find the regular pattern used by the singer. When you find the pattern, try to see if the singer uses it throughout the song, or if he uses different patterns to achieve a certain effect. You will notice that at certain parts of a song, a singer may change the rhythm of his words to elicit a particular emotion or experience. Because music is a purely auditory experience, singers have to work hard to be expressive and meaningful when they sing. Why is rhythm important to hypnosis and day-to-day conversation? The main reason is that a person's perspective often changes when a speaker's rhythm is altered. So in a nutshell, rhythm and tone will allow a hypnotist instant access to a person's thought process and emotions. This is a great advantage because often people have to work hard to bypass the conscious filters before they can elicit any form of emotional response in another person. But with rhythm and tonality, it's a completely different playing field. Although a person can become analytical of another person's vocal qualities, people don't usually spend a lot of cognitive resources doing that. People tend to focus on body language and verbal language when their minds are in a critical or analytical mode. But as for the vocal channel, people usually just let the input from this channel into their minds with little or no resistance. You will rarely hear someone say, "I don't like the way he said the word information." That just doesn't happen unless the speaker has committed a glaring error, for example, mispronouncing common words. Rhythm exercise. Everyone has rhythm when they speak, but not everyone has conscious control of that rhythm. As a hypnotist, you would be better off if you had full control of your speech's rhythm, so you can adjust it if you have to. The first step in controlling rhythm is to be aware of it first. You have to know what rhythm feels like when you are consciously observing and testing how it works. So what I would like you to do is to take a seat and just start tapping your left and right thighs with your hands. I want you to perform alternate taps on your thighs, but do it so that there's a reasonable gap in between taps. Silently count 1 to 4 as you tap. Do this for a few minutes and just get used to the movement and the inner rhythm that it gives you. Feel the rhythm throughout your body. Let your body and mind move and sway with this new rhythm. When you feel that you have become so used to the 4-count rhythm, start speaking as you continue tapping your thighs. You can say random stuff or you can start reading something off your computer. It's up to you. Continue speaking or reading as you tap your thighs. Try changing the speed of the tapping too. There are 2 simple rhythms that have proven to be most effective during hypnosis sessions. The first one is the slow rhythm. Use a slow speech rhythm if you want the other person to quiet down and really focus on your words. The second one is the fast rhythm. A fast speech rhythm can be used if you want to raise the energy of a conversation. It can also be used if you want to elicit a strong emotional response in your subject, such as excitement or anger. Principle number 5. The 5th performance principle is creating your own trance-inducing vocal style. Remember when I asked you to listen to your favorite singer? Why do we love our favorite bands and singers so much? Is it because of the message of the songs or how they sing? Many people would say both, because the message of a song won't be too appealing if the vocal style doesn't appeal to people. Now, before you get any ideas about voices that make people cluck like chickens, let me explain briefly what a trance-inducing vocal style isn't. First of all, there is no vocal style in existence that can just shut down the conscious thinking of another person. The human mind is just too powerful to be controlled at will by another person through his voice and words. Since we cannot do a lot at this level to influence the conscious mind, what we can do is to educate the subconscious mind. To those of you who are not aware of the 2 halves of the mind, let us do a short review. The conscious mind is responsible for filtering and processing information that comes to us through the senses. If potentially dangerous information comes in, the conscious mind comes to the fore to protect the mind from such dangerous information. Now the subconscious mind is the conscious mind's partner. Unlike the conscious mind, the subconscious mind isn't very analytical. If it were alive, it would be a being of pure desire and impulse. Our subconscious minds are the seats of our emotions and who we are as private individuals. If you've been ignoring who you are and who you want to become, you can always retrieve those vital bits of yourself by communicating with your subconscious mind. Many of you might be wondering, if the conscious mind is responsible for analyzing stuff, does it mean that the conscious mind is more important than the subconscious? In the context of hypnosis, the answer to this question is no. Hypnosis thrives because we are able to plant hypnotic suggestions into the subject's subconscious mind. We don't like the idea of battling the conscious mind to gain compliance. Rather, we prefer the subtle art of influencing or educating the subconscious mind so that the subject would naturally comply with what we want. And contrary to what many people believe, the subconscious mind can be as powerful, or can even become more powerful, than the conscious mind. The reason for this is that the subconscious mind has a complex relationship with the conscious mind. The conscious mind is there to protect it, because the subconscious can influence the conscious mind. When a piece of information is accepted and legitimized by the subconscious mind, the conscious mind begins to change how it processes that information. It will begin to accept the information as a truth or a fact, and it will rationalize why it has accepted it. Here's a good example. Why do people choose Coke over Pepsi, or Pepsi over Coke? These two products are essentially the same, carbonated sugar water. But because of brand loyalty and many other factors, a person can rationalize why he picks one brand over the other. But if we were to adapt an objective viewpoint of the matter, there is no logic involved in choosing one brand of pop over the other. Let's go back to the fifth performance principle. Now that you have been able to review the dichotomy between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, let's examine the concept of the hypnotic vocal style. Now, everyone has the ability to change their conversational voice. I can change my voice in an instant. I have several vocal styles that I use depending on the situation. The qualities of my voice change depending on what I want to achieve. If I'm talking to some naughty kids, my voice changes. If I'm talking to a business client, my voice also changes. In order to develop your very own hypnotic vocal style, you need to be very observant. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to people, and during every interaction, I want you to change your voice. Make your voice a pitch higher, or bring it down a notch. Make your voice deeper. Make your voice a little louder and more authoritative. As you make the changes in your voice, observe how your subjects react to you. Which voice allows you to communicate more effectively? Which voice allows you to gain compliance more quickly? And which voice induces a hypnotic trance more efficiently? It is common for hypnotists to have as many as 5 different voices that they use regularly for different social engagements. Some have a different voice for their hypnosis sessions, outdoor engagements, etc. Of course, these voices are different from their plain or normal voice. In time, they are able to switch to their different voices with little difficulty. You will be able to do this too. Just give yourself time. And if you're having trouble remembering what a particular voice sounds like, do not forget to write down notes on your journal. That is why it is so important to have a journal handy when you are studying hypnosis. One never knows when you will need to record something. Now, one of the most useful tips that I can give you regarding hypnotic vocal styles is this. Keep your hypnotic vocal style clear, crisp, and pleasant to listen to. Radio disc jockeys are great models when it comes to developing a new voice. Listen to how these people relay information to their audience. You would be able to listen to their voice when you're driving, and you won't get distracted, unless the DJ starts shouting on purpose. Refine this new voice that you have, but make sure that you do not use it all the time. There has to be a clear distinction between the moments where you are practicing hypnosis and when you are not trying to induce hypnotic trances. If you use your new voice all the time, then you won't be able to make that distinction anymore. Principle number 6. The sixth performance principle is strategic use of the three basic tonalities. Since we are speaking a common language, English, I'm going to focus on the basic tonalities that are regularly used with this language. The tonalities in question are upward, straight, and downward. Each tonality has its own special impact or effect on listeners, and it is up to you to determine when it should be used during your hypnotic conversations. Let's talk about the basic effects of each of these tonalities when they are used in regular speech. The upward inflection is used when you want to turn a statement into a question. For example, if you are giving an important presentation and you want to plant doubt into your audience's mind about your competition, your speech would be like, "Competition? We don't have any competition. Quality? That's not what they stand for. We created the idea of quality in this business." The upward lilt of your voice will emphasize that you are asking your audience a question. Now, here's a little insight when you ask your subject questions. Some questions require an immediate answer. If you ask your subject, "Are you hungry?" he has to respond because it is only polite to answer such a basic question. Some questions don't require an immediate answer. These questions are called open-ended questions, and they are used to trigger reflection in your audience. If you want your audience to really dwell on what you have just said, use open-ended questions or questions that don't have any fixed answers. A good example of an open-ended question would be, "What is life?" If you are an inspirational speaker and you want to teach people about the meaning of life, this would be a great way to get people to start thinking about what life means to them. There is no fixed answer, and you don't really expect people to raise their hands and say things like, "Life is like water, it flows." Let's talk about some other important uses for the upward inflection. Since the upward inflection produces a questioning effect on people's words, it can also be used when you are using an agreement frame or a yes set in your dialogue. Just to recap, a yes set is a technique where you prime your subject to agree with everything that you are saying by relaying information that can easily be verified by the senses. What happens when you use an upward inflection regularly when using a yes set? Here's a sample hypnotic script that has been modified just a little to include the upward inflection. As you are comfortably sitting there, relaxing, and feeling even more relaxed, you will fall deeper into a trance, deeper and deeper into a trance. Now, before you laugh at my strange example, try to determine what kind of subconscious or passive responses you will be getting if you do use upward inflections in this manner. Naturally, you will get a passive, subconscious agreement from the other person whenever you end a phrase with an upward inflection. Because the upward inflection changes the very nature of your statements, and the subject is forced to respond in his subconscious mind. The only way that a person would be able to stop responding to upward inflections would be if he decided to completely ignore what you are saying. But as long as you are heard by your subject, you will be able to create a favorable impact. Let's practice the upward inflection with the following example. "So, you are here right now. You want to learn more about hypnosis. You want to be able to gain compliance from people more easily. You want to be happier and more fulfilled in your career. You want to have more confidence whenever you speak to other people." Read the preceding paragraph using your normal intonation first. When you're done, use the upward inflection at the end of each sentence. The upward inflection doesn't have to be exaggerated or loud. A slight upward inflection is usually enough to create a good impact on people. Try it yourself and see how easy it is to change the subconscious feedback of your subject by simply altering how your words sound. Here's another way to plant doubt in your subject's mind. If someone is accusing you of having done something really bad, you can say something like, "I forgot to lock the front door last night?" Because of the inflection that you have used, the subject will unwittingly fall into the trap of thinking hard about who did what, even if you did forget to lock the front door last night. This neat technique is used by a lot of lawyers who want to reduce the credibility of witnesses. Simple vocal techniques can cause immediate and often lasting changes in how a person thinks. And that is why you should exercise your own vocal techniques as often as possible to get the most benefit from them. Yet another use for the upward inflection is to encourage your subject to continue giving you feedback. You see, conversational hypnosis can only become truly effective if the subject is actively exchanging ideas with you. Without real feedback from your subject, you will have no way to determine what he is really thinking at the present time. Sure, you can detect sadness or boredom by watching the other person's body language. But what about ideas and internal objections to what you are saying? You need the subject to reveal those things to you personally. By using an upward inflection, continuous feedback becomes possible. If you relate your ideas to your subject in a way that you are merely informing him of what you want him to know, continuous feedback may stop. Why would the subject give feedback if it is not being encouraged by the speaker? But when you strategically use the upward inflection, the subject will continuously respond to you even if he doesn't do so verbally. Here's a scenario. Let's say you want to buy some used furniture from a garage sale. You stand near a cluster of furniture, and the owner walks up to you and says, $400 for the lot. You reply to the owner with a simple statement, $400? At this point in time, the owner will continue talking to you just because your reply sounded like a question, and questions need answers. The next tonality is the straight intonation. This tonality is used when you wish to convey pure facts or information to your subject. If you want to appear informative and knowledgeable about something, the straight intonation is the perfect choice for you because it naturally helps clarify and declutter the subject's mind. The third tonality is the downward inflection. The downward inflection is often used to add an air of authority to people's statements. You would often hear this inflection when your boss is asking you to do something. He makes sure that his voice is commanding, and he's not asking you to do something, he is ordering you to do so. A downward inflection can also be used if you are instructing someone to do something correctly. For example, if you are over the phone and you are troubleshooting a friend's personal computer, it would be much better if you use the downward inflection a few times to emphasize that he needs to do something exactly as you have described it so the problem will be fixed. Some of you might be thinking, isn't the downward tonality a little bossy and undesirable if you were trying to establish rapport with another person? First of all, you definitely have the choice of using or not using this particular tonality when establishing rapport with another person. If your subject is not comfortable talking to you yet, you must use other techniques and tonalities to get his trust. Once rapport has been established and the person is in trance, that would be the perfect time to use a more commanding tonality. Why? Well, if we examine how the human mind distributes different functions, we would discover that there is actually an area that is most responsible for our behavior. This special area allows us to do things that we have accepted as reasonable behaviors. Why are we talking about this behavior area of the mind? Surprisingly, this complex area that we are talking about can be influenced by a speaker's tone of voice. Though the exact cause of this passive response is still debated, what's clear is that if a person hears a statement that is concluded with a downward tonality, he understands the statement as a command that he must carry out no matter what. The mental response itself can be categorized as a subconscious response, but at the same time, it transpires in an area of the mind that deals with action and behavior. And so, this passive response has a higher chance of influencing the final action of the subject. If you want your subject to start doing things for you, your message has to convey intent, but in a very subtle way. Because if you start bossing around your subject, the results may become unpredictable. In some cases, directly bossing around another person may work because of social status or obligations. But what if you don't have the luxury of having a higher social status, or being in a position where the subject has to comply with what you want? Again, the best way to see results is to try the technique yourself. If you need someone to act urgently upon your request, make sure that you use the downward tonality. But don't overdo it. The tonality shouldn't be so strong that it becomes the highlight of your message. The tonality should only serve as a behavioral marker for the subject, a subconscious nudge in the right direction.